we present Dixon of Dock Green, with David Calder as PC George Dixon and David Tennant as PC Andy Crawford, dramatised by Sue Rodwell from the television screenplay by Ted Willis. Episode 1, London Pride.
Evening all. You probably don't know me. Constable George Dixon. But if you've ever got yourself into any sort of trouble in Dock Green, I'll know you. I've been on the beat, what are we now, 1956, and I came in 35. And in that time I've met all sorts, good and bad. Of course, the job's mostly routine, bag snatching, shoplifting. But now and again, something bigger come along. That's why I was off to see Fred Jenkins, a rogue since he was a nipper. But I wanted some information, and I knew from experience there was a good chance Fred could give it to me. You can't beat experience. That's what I was trying to tell this new young lad, Andy Crawford, fresh out of police college, and thinks he knows it all.
They're all changing, George. Police methods.
Are they now?
Now, there won't be bobbies on the beat for very much longer.
Is that a fact?
Soon it'll be nothing but patrol cars. No, we had a lecture about it at Peel House. Very interesting.
Patrol cars. They won't go down very well round here, lad.
It's the way modern policing's going. Mechanisation. Even Doc Green will have to catch up sooner or later.
Well, I hope it waits till I'm drawing my pension.
That won't be too long now, I suppose. George?
Come on. Time to show you what policing's really about. Let's drop by the Royal Oak.
Early in the day for a pint.
It's not a pint I'm after. Keep your eyes open and your mouth shut, and you'll learn more than you ever did at Peel House. Morning, Fred.
Mr. Dixon.
Busy?
Never too busy for a chat with you. Who's this, then? New face in Dock Green.
PC Crawford.
Fred Jenkins. Pleased to meet you. As much as I am any copper. So, what can I do for you?
Word is, there's a big job being planned. A bank raid. You heard anything?
Might have done. What's it worth?
Well, let's see, Fred. How about I don't run you in for that after-hours drinking session last week?
What session? It was just a few pals round for a pint or two. You know how it is. All right. Talk is, Ronnie Nathan and his boys are planning something big.
Who's Ronnie Nathan?
Oh, blimey, you are green.
Ronnie's a nasty piece of work, Constable.
He is that. Runs a gang of jelly boys.
Yeah, that means safe blowers, PC Crawford.
I know.
One of the biggest gangs in Dock Green. And you'll never guess who they've got as their driver. Lenny Judd.
Lenny?
That's what I've heard. Seems he did some fancy driving on their last job.
Well, I thought Lenny went up north, got himself a respectable job.
He did. But looks like he's back in these parts.
They're keeping bad company again.
Yeah, he's weighing over his head. It's his mum I feel sorry for. She's having hard enough time of it without hearing her son's in trouble again.
What sort of hard time?
It seems she and Jack have got a new landlord and he's making their life a misery. Wants them out, doesn't care how he does it. If she finds out about Lenny on top of that, he'll probably finish the old dear off.
So, do you know exactly when this bank raid is going to happen, Fred?
Put your notebook away.
Yes, Constable, put it away.
Everything between Mr. Dixon and me is off the record. And I haven't got the foggiest when it's going to happen. Lenny'd know, but you'd have to find him first, then twist his arm a bit. My old man will be back soon, Mr. Dixon, so you'd better hop it.
All right, thanks, Fred. Come on, Constable. We're going to take our tea break with Jack and Emmy Judd. I want to sort out this spot of bother with their landlord.
What a dump.
Yeah, this was a decent road before the war.
Hard to believe.
We want the basement flat.
Down those stairs?
Afraid so. Oh, come on, lad. I thought you joined the police for a bit of adventure.
Yeah, adventure, not suicide.
Now remember,
Not a word about Lenny.
Well, what if he just happens to come up in conversation?
He won't. I don't want Emmy getting a sniff. He's been doing jobs for Ronnie Nathan. All right.
Well, she'll find out eventually when we catch him. Well,
Emmy's got enough on her plate just now without worrying her till we have to. So, not a word. I've told you to leave us...
Ah, Mr. Dixon. I'm sorry, I thought you were someone else.
You were just passing, Jack. I was telling PC Crawford here, Emmy brews the best tea in Dock Green.
In the whole of London, more like. Come on in. Emmy, love, we've got visitors.
You'll like it round here, Mr. Crawford.
I'm sure I will.
I was right about the tea, wasn't I, lad?
You certainly were. It's very good, Mrs. Jones.
I'll never boil up stale water. That's the secret.
Have you lived in Dock Green long?
All our lives, isn't that right, Jack?
Yeah, that's right. Started married life not three streets away.
Fetch some biscuits from the kitchen, Jack. Oh, it's not proper elevenses without biscuits, is it?
I'll have to be letting my waistband out again.
You all right, Em?
And bring in the currant buns, Jack, if you haven't scoffed them all.
Right, you are.
Oh, we don't want to eat you out of house and home.
You won't do that, Mr. Crawford.
You've got noisy neighbours.
Oh, you're telling me.
They'll bring the ceiling down if they're not careful.
That's what I'm frightened of.
Right, Em, I've had enough of it.
Jack, guests.
Well, it sounds like somebody's having a knees up.
Well, I wouldn't mind that. I like a bit of life, but this is too much.
It really is.
Em, love, don't.
I'm sorry, but it goes on so on and on. I can't bear it, I can't.
Would it be your landlord making all the noise?
It would. I'll swing for him if this goes on.
How long's it been going on?
Oh, weeks and weeks.
Ever since Agar bought the house and moved himself in. Got rid of the other tenant, Sharpish.
Now he wants us out.
But we're staying put. Isn't that right, love? If Hitler couldn't bomb us out, Agar's certainly not going to manage it.
I don't know how much more I can take, to be honest.
If I was 20 years younger, I'd deal with him.
But you're not.
I could swing a punch in those days, Mr. Crawford. Doc Green welterweight champion I was in my time. I think to myself, I'll go up there and beat the living daylights out of him. But who am I kidding? It's no joke getting on.
Sounds like he's danced himself to a standstill.
He'll be something else in a minute.
But if we make any noise, even have the wireless on...
He's down here knocking on the door, threatening he'll take us to court for creating a disturbance.
Well, why don't we have a bit of music now, eh? What's the time? Oh, it'd be workers' playtime. I like that. Turn on the wireless, Jack.
What?
Go on.
We shouldn't.
Oh, blimey. This is a free country. He might have bought the house, but he hasn't bought you. Well, I can hardly hear that. Turn it up a bit, Jack.
Right. Is that all right?
A bit more.
And we don't need it as loud as all that.
Well, PC Crawford likes his music loud, don't you, lad?
Oh, as loud as it gets.
Go on, Jack. Open the door.
Jack, I've warned you. We were just enjoying the wireless.
I've had enough trouble from you two. Let me in, will you?
You can't come in if we don't want you to.
Yeah, well, we'll see about that. There.
Warning. Mr. Agar, isn't it?
Coppers. What are you doing in here?
Having a cup of tea.
And very good tea it is.
Well, you can't come in here. I own the place and I'm having no coppers in my house. Where's your warrant?
Well, you're all wind, aren't you? We're here because we were invited.
I could report you.
Well, it'd be a pleasure. I'd like to see you down at the station.
I know my rights.
You're not the only one with rights.
Bit young to be in uniform, aren't you, Sonny?
Look.
All right, Mr. Agar, I think it's time you and me had a quiet word.
You've got nothing on me.
Just a friendly chat. Outside.
Need me, George?
Not just yet, PC Crawford. I'm sure we'll be able to settle this amicably.
I've done nothing wrong.
Just don't eat all those biscuits while I'm gone. After you, Mr. Agar.
Well...
Mr. Dixon will put him right, won't he?
I'm sure he will.
Well, I don't know about you two, but I could do with another pot of tea.
No. You sit down, Emmy. Put your feet up.
I'm fine.
And you're white as a sheet. I'll do the tea.
Well, don't let it stew.
Is that a photograph of your husband?
Yes. That's Jack when he was up for the All-London Welterweight Final. Got knocked out in the second round. Oh, shouldn't really have it hanging on the wall. Not decent just in his boxing shorts.
And is this your husband in uniform?
No, that's our Lenny, my son. Just before he went off to do his national service, he was in the RAF. Did very well for himself.
Has he stayed in the Air Force?
Oh, no. Lenny's up north. Not much work in Dock Green these days, more's the pity. He runs his own business, hardware and such, has a van and everything.
So, I suppose you don't see much of him?
He visits when he can.
Here we are. Won't be as tasty as Em's, but it's hot. Pass me a cup, Mr. Crawford.
Oh, just half a cup for me, thanks.
Mr. Crawford was asking about Lenny.
Was he now?
I was saying how well he's doing.
He is. So, I'd guess you're not from round these parts, Mr. Crawford.
No, Paisley.
There have been some fine Scottish fighters.
Oh,
you know.
You and your boxing. You won't shut him up now, Mr. Crawford.
Does your son box at all?
Lenny? Oh, Jack wouldn't let him near a boxing ring.
Well, I think that's sorted, Mr. Agar.
I wish I'd been a fly on the wall.
We had a chat, that's all. He's not so bad.
If you've found some good in him, Mr. Dixon, that's more than we had.
Well, I'm sure he won't bother you again.
I hope you're right.
Well, we can't stay in the warm all day.
I suppose we can't.
Oh, won't you stop a bit longer? We were having such a nice chat. Mr. Crawford was asking all about Lenny.
Were you now?
Well, I just happened to notice his photograph.
We've got too many photographs, too much clutter altogether.
We'd better be on our way, thanks, Emmy, or Sergeant Flint would be giving me a rocket.
Thanks for all your trouble, Mr. Dixon.
No trouble, Jack. And if there's another peep out of your Mr. Agar, just let me know.
Oh, they seem a nice couple. Don't deserve a landlord like that.
I told you not to ask about Lenny.
He came up in the conversation.
Not a word, I said.
Well, I just thought...
I don't think. Just do as you're told. And maybe one day, when you're not so wet behind the ears, you'll make a halfway decent copper. But between now and then, you've got a lot to learn, my lad.
Maybe I shouldn't have laid into young Andy like that, but these toes of mine are getting old. And it hurts like the devil when they're stepped on. But once I told Sergeant Flint what Nathan's gang were planning, the balloon went up. I reckon if Lenny was involved, he'd be the weak link. So I put out some feelers to flush him out of the woodwork. But he was keeping his head well down. I wish I could have said the same about Agar.
You stay away. Shoo! Go away!
Rex! Down, boy! Sit!
You should keep that dog locked up. He's ruined me washing. He's dangerous.
He's harmless. You're just a big softy, aren't you, Rexy?
He tried to bite me.
I've told you. Rex wouldn't hurt a fly. He just likes a good run in the garden now and again.
It's my garden too. You can't stop me hanging out the washing.
Wouldn't want to. But Rex has to get his exercise. I don't have time to walk him every day.
Just keep him away from me.
Don't worry. He'll behave himself. If I tell him to. He does exactly what I tell him to. Don't you, boy? Exactly.
Those sheets are ruined.
No, they're not. The mud'll come out.
Not if you just squeeze them like that. Use more soap. Oh, let me do it.
No, you sit down. You look all in. Not again.
I can't stand it, Jack. I can't stand it any longer.
I wouldn't have heard about Emmy if I hadn't bumped into one of their neighbours. She told me Emmy had been rushed to hospital. And I had a fair idea who had caused that.
He set the dog on her. As good as. Then he starts with the music again. It was too much for her ticker.
I'm sorry my little talk didn't do any good.
Water off a duck's back with someone like him.
Jack?
I'm here. You got a visitor, Em. Mr. Dixon.
I'm sorry, Jack.
Don't be silly.
I should be home.
You should be here, where they could look after you.
Have you had your lunch?
Don't you worry about that. The nurses have done me proud.
It won't be as tasty as mine.
Of course not. Now go back to sleep. You need your rest.
Lenny here yet?
No, love, not yet.
Lenny.
She keeps asking for our Lenny.
Is he coming to see her?
Can't get hold of him, can I? He's on the road a lot. Deliveries and such.
So he's still up in Darlington, then?
Of course. He's got a nice little business up there, I told you.
Yeah, you do.
You know, don't you? It's all rubbish. He had a business all right for about 2 seconds. Went bankrupt, didn't he? Em doesn't know.
Well, she won't hear it from me.
You're looking for him, then?
We are.
The silly sod. What's he done this time?
Well, we don't know if he's done anything yet.
Come on, Mr. Dixon. I know the form. You don't go looking unless you're pretty sure it's worth the shoe leather.
We think he's got himself tied up with Ronnie Nathan.
Nathan? Oh, I'll kill him. Em mustn't know. She's done everything for that boy, and this is how he pays her back.
I'm sorry, Jack.
Kids, break your heart.
If Lenny does get in touch, would you let me know?
You can't ask me to do that, Mr. Dixon. Whatever Lenny's done, he's still my son.
I thought you'd say that. I better be going, Jack.
Thanks for looking in.
I'll call in again, but Emmy'll be up and about this time tomorrow.
I wish that was true. Trouble is, I'm not so sure she wants to get better.
What do you mean?
Well, if she does, it's back to the flat, isn't it? Back to all the aggravation. Agar's going to make our life a misery till he gets us out, and that's the long and short of it.
Well, you leave Agar to me, Jack.
Didn't do much good last time, did it?
I've got something else in mind for him.
It's not my fault if the old biddy collapses.
But it was your fault.
I didn't touch her. If she said anything different...
Emmy's not said much at all. She hasn't come round properly.
Well, when she does, you tell her from me.
Shut up, Rex.
You tell her if she spreads any stories, that's libel.
Slander, actually.
Yeah, slander, whatever.
And only if the story's not true.
Don't you want to know what's the matter with Mrs. Judd?
What?
It was a heart attack. Pretty bad. She might not recover.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Well, I've got work to do, even if you two have.
Your dog, Mr. Agar.
What about him?
Has he got a license?
What?
A dog license.
Of course.
Could we see it?
Why?
Oh, it's just routine.
Well, I haven't got it on me. I'll have to go in the house, look for it.
Well, we wait out here.
It'll take me a while.
Well, you'll find we're very patient.
I don't know where it is for sure. I haven't unpacked everything.
Well, if you bring it to the station in the morning.
What's all this in aid of?
Oh, I'm an old-fashioned sort of copper, Mr. Agar. PC Crawford, I'll tell you that.
What's he doing? This your van, sir? Yes?
Now, I thought you'd take our little chat to heart, see the error of your ways. But it seems I was wrong. And because of that, a harmless old lady ends up in hospital.
I told you, it's nothing to do with it.
You know you had a cracked tail light.
Look, you can't...
PC Crawford now, he's not like me. He's more keen on doing things by the book. Isn't that right, Constable?
It is. Your tail light, sir?
I'm going to get it fixed. I haven't had time yet.
What about your tyres?
There's nothing wrong with them.
Well, this one's worn, sir.
So?
I think you'll find that's an offence under the Road Traffic Act.
Lucy Crawford could probably quote you the relevant paragraph.
I could.
I'm not standing for this.
And then there are building regulations, sir. Fire regulations. You'll have a fire escape on your building, sir.
This is persecution.
If I was you, Mr. Agar, I'd just make sure I never give the Judds any reason to need the police again.
You can't do this. I know my rights.
If we see someone breaking the law, sir, we have to act.
Thanks, Andy.
My pleasure, George.
How are you feeling?
Well, I wish you could get me breath. I should be home.
Not yet, love.
Has Lenny written?
He's not one for writing letters.
But you wrote to him. Told him I was in hospital.
Posted it yesterday.
I thought he'd be here by now. If there's a letter, you'll bring it straight here, won't you?
Of course.
I want to see him, Jack. I've got to see him.
I'm desperate, Mr. Dixon.
I'm sorry, I'm not sure what I can do.
You can get a message to Lenny. I don't know who his friends are. Don't know anything about the life he leads these days. But you do, by the sounds of it.
Tell him his mum's in hospital.
Well, do you think he'd believe me?
It's worth a try, isn't it?
I suppose it is.
Whatever kind of fool he is, Lenny still thinks the world of his mother. He'll get in touch.
You know, if he comes to the hospital, I'll have to arrest him.
I can't help that. Em's not going to get better till she's seen the lad.
I put the word about. Talk to people Lenny would trust. They'd never tell me where he was, but I reckon they'd pass on a message when it was about his mum. There was no way he'd get on the blower to Dock Green Station, so I gave out my private number. (coughs) 2184.
Dixon?
Speaking.
What's all this about my mum?
Lenny? Didn't recognise your voice.
Well, it's been a while.
The reason I wanted you to call was to tell you your mother's in hospital.
You expect me to believe that?
It's true.
What's wrong with the old girl?
It's her heart. She's very ill. She wants to see you before it's too late. Lenny?
I'm here.
Your mother's in St. Mary's, Baldwin Ward.
Oh, yeah. So, I pay the old girl a visit and you're waiting there to nab me.
What would I want to nab you for, Lenny?
Come on. There are coppers crawling all over Dock Green and I'm hearing just two names. Ronnie Nathan and Lenny Judd.
You've been keeping bad company. Little Bird tells me you've done one job for Nathan already.
So you would arrest me?
I have to do my duty. But we'd let you see your mother, on compassionate grounds.
She'd love that. Waking up to find me standing by the bed in handcuffs, enough to give her another heart attack. Well, I suppose I could turn up any time. You lot can't keep a watch on the hospital day and night.
You'd never get past the ward's sister, Lenny. Exceptions for husbands only. For everyone else, it's normal visiting times or nothing.
In that case, I'll just have to send Mum a bag of grapes.
Jack, I spoke to Lenny last night. I'm afraid he's not going to turn up.
That's all right. He called the hospital not 2 hours ago. We had a good long natter.
I didn't even think he'd get in touch.
At the end of the day, Lenny will do anything for his mum. Not for anyone else, mind.
So he's coming to see Emmy?
He wanted to slip in early in the morning, but Emma'd smell a rat. She'd wonder what he was up to. And when the nurses found him, he'd be out in his ear sharpish anyway.
That's just about what I told him.
So, he'll be here tomorrow afternoon. Proper visiting time.
We'll have to take him in, Jack.
I know. He does too. But this might be the last time he gets to see his mum.
Oh, she's a fighter. She'll pull through.
If she doesn't, and he's not said a proper goodbye, he'll never forgive himself. Lenny swears he'll give himself up if you just let him have time alone with his mum.
Well, I'm sorry, Jack, even if I could. And he'd never wear it.
Yeah. He strikes me as the sort who does things by the book. But that's all I'm asking. Do it by the book. Keep your eyes on the ward, like you're supposed to.
What are you up to, Jack?
Don't ask, Mr. Dixon. And tomorrow, you'll get just what you want. Lenny on a plate.
Smarten yourself up, Andy. One of the nurses has got her eye on you.
Rubbish. Oh, little blonde one over there. Lenny is never going to turn up here.
Yes, he is.
Why are you so certain?
After 20 years in this game, you get to understand human nature a bit, Andy.
Sure you do. Well, he hasn't got past the nurses. Had a look in the ward just now. Jack is sitting by the bed, holding his wife's hand. No sign of Lenny.
I'll go and get us a cup of tea. I think it's going to be a long afternoon. I can tell you, I was more than glad when visiting time was over and done with. Jack was still sitting in the ward. And me and Andy, we were still sitting outside it like a couple of sore thumbs. It looked as if it was a wasted afternoon for all of us.
Well, George, what was that you were saying about Lenny turning up? Something about
understanding human nature.
Just wait, my lad.
Visiting time's over. He's not going to come now.
Hello there, you two.
Jack.
Mr. Judd, how's your wife?
Em perked up wonderful when she knew Lenny was coming to visit.
She must be disappointed now.
Not at all. They've had a lovely chat.
What do you mean? Lenny's not set foot in that ward.
No, he hasn't. They've been having a natter out in the gardens. We wheeled the old girl out in her chair just after lunch.
But I saw you sitting by her bed not 10 minutes ago, holding her hand.
No, that'd be Mrs. Stevens. Doesn't get visitors, so I like to sit with her and chat when I can.
We've been had.
Looks like we have.
Don't worry. Here they are now.
Mr. Dixon, what a surprise. What are you doing here?
I'm just visiting.
Right, you got the cuffs, George.
Now, hold your horses, lad.
I'll park you here, Mum.
Thanks, love. Oh, we've had such a long chat. I'm parched, Jack.
Cup of tea coming up. Anyone else?
Not for me, thanks.
Nor me.
Better not. I think I'll be going soon.
Oh, must you?
Afraid so. Bit of business to deal with.
Mind you naughty boy. You were so late, I didn't think you'd turn up.
Neither did I.
Sorry about that, Mum. Just drop by on that landlord of yours.
Don't talk to me about that awful man.
He wasn't so bad, after I'd had a word with him.
Well, we better be getting back to the station.
I'll walk with you, Mr. Dixon. I think I'm going your way.
Once we got him down the station, we couldn't stop him talking. He'd got in over his head with Ronnie Nathan, and he was glad to be out of it. The Judds? Well, Emmy was a different woman once she'd seen Lenny. I'm sure she'll soon be strong enough to take the truth about her son. And Agar? Well, he's been as good as gold. I like to think it was my wise words that did the trick. Mind you, it might have something to do with the two black eyes he seemed to have picked up from somewhere. Well, time I was home for my tea, so I'll say evening all.
In Dixon of Dock Green, George Dixon was played by David Calder and PC Andy Crawford by David Tennant. Fred Jenkins and Lenny Judd were played by Jacob Dylan Thomas, Jack Judd by Chris McDonald, Emmy Judd by Avril Elgar, and Agar by Jonathan Taffler. Dixon of Dock Green was dramatised for radio by Sue Rodwell from the original television screenplay by Ted Willis and produced in Bristol by Jeremy Howe and Viv Beebe.